Welcome home. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive, celebrating 25 years with this delicious cupcake. All of it brought to you by our friends at Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter. The 25th anniversary documentary, No One Listens, Everyone Hears, is available. Gotten a lot of feedback on that. Gratitude for that from everybody who has thrown me notes over saying they saw themselves in the video or they remember something or, hey, why wasn't I in the video? And I was like, well, you should have been there the day I ran down the street in my underwear. Long weekend of great baseball and certainly the football team's back doing things and players have shown up. And if you run into Lamar Jackson in the Royal Farms or maybe Justin Tucker, it's because they're back here doing some things. I was up in this guy's great state of Pennsylvania over the weekend. I was up in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, place. You know, I see Bethlehem like Bethlehem Steel. You know, every piece of food I put in my mouth as a child came from Bethlehem Steel and my dad's employment there. But I, you know, what a state you have, Luke Jones. That's all I'm going to say. You're across the border up there in Pennsylvania. And I, you know, everywhere I go in the state, I am, as I get older and I drive and I do a lot of spring and summer driving, you have a beautiful state. That's all I'm going to say. But I had never pulled into Bethlehem. I had never been to Allentown. A lot of these places, my wife is a project engineer of Verizon, and she services all of these towns. She knows how to pronounce the names of these towns in Southeastern, Exton, let's see, Easton, like all of that stuff, East, the Easton Assassin, that's all I remember about that. But Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, you've never been. You and I had this conversation, correct?
No, I think Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I want to say graduated from, I think he finished high school in Bethlehem, PA.
Because that's where they did the wrestling tapings, right?
Again, the timing of it, I'm a little foggy on, but I know he
they
spent
did.
Time
they,
there.
Allentown was where they welcome to another action pack card. I'm Gary Michael Capetta. All that was all. I got to get Capetta. I'm writing this down after Baluchin last week. I'm gonna have to do. But here's the cool part about going into Bethlehem. When you first off, it's called the Lehigh Valley, so it's like in a valley. It's mm-hmm. beautiful, but more than that, it's majestic with rust. Like the smokestacks are still there, but they're abandoned. But right next to it, they built this giant casino and like a mall. I don't know. I can't even explain it. I would just say nobody's ever told me anything about Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. They have an event center up there. Had a nice experience. A lot of nice people. My wife had a little diabetic issue over the weekend, and people took good care of her. So we're very appreciative to Bethlehem. So I just want to give you some PA love as an entree to the fact that, like, we're talking so much baseball, so much Kimbrel, so much Means and Bradish and Burns and Cowser and this and that. The football thing is, for the very first time in our relationship, moved not to the back seat of the car, but more in the trunk. We shut the trunk, forget about it. We'll get it when we need it. We'll worry about it. We're talking about offensive line play and all of that. Now yeah. You start to see these guys, you know, get out of the cars in Owings Mills, and they have the nonstop, you know, they're running a 24-hour hard knocks over there for all the young players. But this is the new class, and they're doing a lot of important work out there this week, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to grab headlines. And even in the years where the Orioles were terrible, it's not like rookie minicamp was this major event on the calendar, but it certainly garnered a little more attention than it did this past weekend. But hey, they were out there. It's their orientation. I mean, it really is. You know, it's nice to see Wiggins and TJ Tampa and Roger Rosengarten and Adisa Isaac and Rasheen Ali, you know, go down the list of guys that aren't still relatively new to Ravens fans. Not relatively, they are new to Ravens fans and even to media, but it's good to see them in a Ravens helmet and a Ravens jersey and running around. And that first rookie camp is really, you know what they're doing? They're really teaching these guys how to practice, because it's one thing to talk about some of the guys that, you know, when you draft a guy that comes from Alabama or some big time program that is a football powerhouse, but a lot of these guys are coming from, you know, either smaller schools or Power Five schools that aren't as accomplished. And, you know, the transition from college to the NFL is a big deal, you know, Captain Obvious statement. So you have to, you know, you have some orientation for these guys to kind of see what an NFL practice looks like. And you have a lot of tryout guys. You know, they have a big rookie free agent class with a couple Terps in there, which always makes it a little more interesting. But, you know, there's no major headlines. I mean, you find out which guys are dealing with a physical issue. You find out which guys aren't quite recovered from injuries they sustained last year, or, you know, in the case of, you know, a couple of their draft picks, you know, even, you know, a Senior Bowl thing will crop up from time to time, as it did for Rasheen Ali. So, you know, it's nothing earth-shattering, nothing that's headline-grabbing, but it's fun. And, you know, on a weekend when the Orioles were away, it's always fun to see the rookies out there you know, running around, and you can tell they don't really know what they're doing just yet. And John Harbaugh has even alluded to as much at different times over the years, but it's the next checkpoint. And we're now a couple of weeks out from OTA started. That'll be open to media. And you start to get a look at what this 2024 roster is going to look like. And as we've talked about, especially when you're talking about, you know, not just Wiggins, the first round pick, but especially Roger Rosengarten, their second round offensive tackle, you know, these are guys are going to be counting on to play. You know, you're not counting on your whole rookie class to play right away, but you're going to need at least a couple of those guys to make contributions. And you don't glean anything from what happens during rookie camp weekend, but it's still nice to see those guys out there. And again, you kind of rip the Band-Aid off and kind of show them, okay, this is how life works in the NFL, and it's time to start learning exactly how that goes.
Look, let's get off the Ravens for a minute here because we haven't talked much. We didn't even talk about other teams in the draft and who did what, and we made fun of the Falcons a little bit. Everybody did. Pittsburgh, Russell Wilson, you know, Cleveland, trying to figure out this assaulting quarterback that they have and figuring out peace there. And Flacco's gone now, and there's no, not that that was a long-term solution in any way, but are they going to even get that kind of play, and what are they? And to me, it's always the Bengals because, you know, I respect that kid, that quarterback. He's as long as they have him, I think he's a winner. I think they'll figure things out, how they do their offseason. I've befriended Duke Tobin, so maybe I should get him on the show and talk about, let him talk about the Bengals a little bit with me. But I almost reached last week to Paul Dougherty, longtime columnist out there. I was going to reach to Jeff Hobson from Bengals.com, who's a big baseball guy. I was going to do some sort of quasi-Reds Bengals stuff before we went to Cincinnati last week, and I got busy, and I got tickets to the game, and I went out and hey, I did my part last week. I hazed Aaron Judge. You know, I hazed Rizzo on the high strikeout. I glared at Juan Soto, and he caught me. He glared back. So I did my part last week, but the NFL part of what's going on in other places, I don't know if you and I've talked a whole lot about that. And I'm interested in the division. I'm interested in what Ortiz and Jim Harbaugh are doing out in Los Angeles with the Chargers and how teams are trying to get better and really where the Steelers are, as much as I'm as interested in the Steelers as any team. Maybe it was the Mike Tomlin cameo in the 25th anniversary video, but you know, what are these other teams doing to get better? We're worried about our offensive line. We won 13 games last year. We're pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I've said, I mean, yeah, the Ravens have some relative questions, and you know, we can talk about depth in certain spots. I mean, the offensive line is going to continue to be the big story, and that's not going to change during OTAs. I mean, that we're going to be talking about that at least until they line up and play a few games for real, and the O-line looks the part, right? It looks the part of a team that can win a championship. But you know, Cincinnati, I mean, you said it. I mean, Joe Burrow being healthy, it's a lot like Lamar with the Ravens. If he's healthy and upright, they got a chance. And you can kind of expect them to be a playoff team. You know, that's what the Ravens have been. When Lamar's been healthy, they've been a playoff team. No questions asked. Now, what happens when they get there? Okay, that's a different discussion. But with the Bengals, I mean, I think you didn't see quite as much consensus as, you know, Pittsburgh, by all accounts, seemed to have a great draft for whatever that's worth. They seem to get really good draft grades. But, you know, Cincinnati, I saw a little more up and down, but overall more good than bad. But, you know, to me, those are the two teams that I think have helped themselves this offseason. Cleveland, I have no idea. I mean, again, where are they with the quarterback? You can talk about all the other spots on your roster. If your quarterback situation isn't healthy, isn't something that inspires confidence, then I don't, you know, what are you, right? I mean, that's why Pittsburgh, even though the Steelers have been in the playoffs, you know, in recent years, they've made it, you know, they've snuck in as the seven seed, but no one's taken them seriously because they didn't have anyone that you take seriously at quarterback. Now, how much does that change with Russell Wilson or in the case of Justin Fields? You know, I'm still, you know, I don't view Russell Wilson through the lens of a guy that's going to be a guy that played deep into January anymore, but he's at least done it in the past. You certainly feel better about him than Kenny Pickett for whatever that's worth, which isn't much. So that they become more interesting, and their roster feels like it's gotten better. So you have a more interesting Pittsburgh team that I think the roster's gotten better. The quarterback situation is better. Is it Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson? No, absolutely not. And until Russell Wilson shows us that the last 2 years were just an inexplicable blip, then yeah, they're third place. You know, they're playing for third place in this division right now. And, you know, with Cleveland, you know, Deshaun Watson, I have no idea. So
Yeah, I mean, it feels damaged goods to me, right? Like, and I have so many friends that are Browns fans and cover the Browns, and Daryl Reuter and the people that I bring on here. I think to myself, how does that kid go into the building and lead after where he's been? And then Flacco comes in and out Flaccos him, gives them, wins the city over, has a chance to like win a game. And they weren't good enough, and they got their ass kicked in that playoff game. It just wasn't very good, but it was good for a couple of weeks for Joe and for them, but really not good for the franchise, who's got $200 million of real money into this kid. And to your point, don't really know, haven't really seen it in that helmet, haven't really seen it in any helmet in 2 or 3 years. He's got $1 billion in the bank. The law was chasing him around forever. I don't know how he gets a date with a normal girl. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I don't know how he walks into a club in Cleveland as a guy who's been through all of that, and you say, "Hey, this is Deshaun. He's my dude. Meet my parents." I don't know. I don't know how any of that works. I've never been accused of being a sexual predator, right? So, but on top of all that, to go to work, lead, do what you need to do, be in the shape you need to be in, not be injured. I mean, that's a heavy assignment for that kid. And for that franchise. And I'll tell you what, if they win 13 games and he becomes something and he's a good quarterback the next 4 years and he's an MVP and he has, redemption and wins a Super Bowl or whatever, I will stand shocked as hell because I think it's heavy enough, it's hard enough for Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow to try to go and win. And they both have been very, very good in their own ways. They both have been very, very injured in their own ways, right? And they both have, talented people, good coaching, good. Say what you want about Cincinnati, but it's gotten better from scouting. I mean, everything about it has gotten better. You would feel like if any of these teams are going to a Super Bowl, it's the Ravens or the Bengals. And you would look at the Browns and say, man, if they get to a Super Bowl with that outfit, the way it's put together after what Flacco did last year, hats off to that kid, but I don't think he can do it. I would be betting full stop against the Browns in that way because I'm not a believer. I'm really not. No matter how much
Yeah.
talent he has, I'm not a believer.
I mean, I just putting aside all of the off field, all of that baggage, which I'm not making light of that, but I'm just focusing strictly on the football side of it. I mean, we're talking about someone you've got to go back to 2020 is the last time he played at a high level. I mean, that's 4 years ago. Four
Russell
years
Wilson
ago.
was playing at a high level then,
Right.
right? Literally. Right.
Exactly. I mean,
Yeah.
so you're real. I mean, Tom Brady was winning the Super Bowl that year. So, and he's out of the league now. So,
I
I
did
mean,
not watch the roast,
really,
by the way. I just want to point that out. I didn't, I mean, I saw it with the jokes, but I didn't see the roast.
I did not, but it sounded like it was really funny. So, but that aside, when you look at Deshaun Watson, I mean, let's face it. Let's look at this objectively, not just Ravens or the Bengals or the Steelers wanting to hate on the Browns, because the Browns, you know, the jokes have written themselves over the years. But you know, what's the high water mark for Deshaun Watson? What he did in the second half against the Ravens last November, right? I mean, okay, he played really well in the second half. And putting aside how you feel about him personally or the off-field stuff, that was a gutsy second half performance, knowing he was playing with a broken shoulder and what he did in that game. But when that's the high water mark, when that's kind of all you have to hang your hat on, 2 years into this thing in terms of their contract, and now knowing what the cap numbers look like, how much guaranteed money is still there. I mean, this isn't like any other quarterback's deal where you say, okay, if he gets hurt or it starts to go sideways, or he's not the same player that he was, well, you can get out of it, right? You're going to take on some dead money, but you can get out of it. This is fully guaranteed, no questions asked. He's getting paid, and it's on your salary cap, and there's not a whole lot you can do to remedy that.
You know who knew that? The night Steve Bisciotti blew me off 2 years ago and lost his mind, and he knew that.
The 31 other owners knew that.
Yeah, exactly, and that's why they didn't want any part of this.
Especially considering the baggage for him. I mean, if you were going to do that with anyone, at least make it Patrick Mahomes, right? At least make it someone where you put your head on the pillow and you're not worried about him being a bad guy.
It is, by the way, still the most mind-boggling thing I have ever seen that
crazy.
The Browns did it. And the fact it really speaks to how batshit Jimmy Haslam and his wife Dee must be. And like to think that they were going to bundle this for the fans of Cleveland and that that was going to go well. And that after they got through the nightmare of the press conference, that this guy was going to settle in and be the kind of citizen that their sponsors and that they would wrap themselves around, even if he could play. And then what happens if he can't play anywhere near that level? Or what happens if they bring a 41-year-old washed-up Super Bowl MVP in and he wins the city over in 4 weeks, right? And, how good are they? They were in the playoffs with Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, give Joe credit. He's 39. He's not 41. He's not that old yet. But no, you're absolutely right. And
he's still younger than you. By a little.
Thanks for reminding me of that. But you just said it. There are so many scenarios, and look, I'm not saying this to be a commentary of Cleveland or any NFL city, or, it's just kind of society in general, where success is a really good deodorizer more often than not. And that I'm not saying that that is right. I'm not saying we should be proud of that as a society, but more often than not, it tends to be the case. But in the case of Deshaun Watson, with all those issues, and then on top of it, he's not playing well. And now this is a shoulder injury he had. And I know that seems like the early indicators are that he's healthy and he's been throwing for a while and all of that, but there's just so much unknown there. And you gave up draft picks to acquire him on top of the $230 million fully guaranteed deal. And that's where, really until they
show
otherwise.
And by the way, the Texans were good.
Yeah. Until they show otherwise. You and I have wasted too much oxygen on the Browns right now. I mean, that's just the truth. And like, okay, they made the playoffs last year. Yeah, half the teams in the league make the playoffs now almost. When you have a 7-team field in each conference, they probably want to expand it again as they're thinking about going to 18 games.
But the
and
teams
all
that don't make the playoffs are usually the ones where the quarterback got hurt. They have a place where the team had the quarterback get hurt and they made the playoffs.
They did. They did. And look, that's where it does speak to, they've got talented players. I'm not saying the Browns are completely worthless, but if you're not going to get a much higher level of play from Deshaun Watson than you've gotten through the first 2 years, which part of that issue is there's been a lack of availability, year one, the suspension, year two, he gets hurt halfway through the season. But if you're not going to get more than what they've gotten and considerably more than what they've gotten, it's not going to matter. That's where I kind of look at this and say that it's the Ravens and the Bengals. And I'll give the Ravens the nod because the Ravens last year were the better team. And the Bengals, Joe Burrow, he's got to show that he's healthy and the wrist is not an issue whatsoever. I mean, you ask any athlete in any kind of sport, a wrist injury is something that, that can be a little unnerving. I mean, it's really, really important. Whether you're talking about throwing a football, swinging a baseball bat, swinging a golf club, hockey stick, whatever, you name it, it's important. There's a little bit of unknown there with Burrow. Not as much as Watson, obviously. But that's where I look at this and say it's the Ravens and the Bengals. And I think Pittsburgh is more interesting now than they've been. But I still am not a big believer in Russell Wilson. I still think, through a long-term lens, Pittsburgh might be better off really trying to see if they can get Justin Fields ready to play, because I think his age alone gives him more upside than Russell Wilson, even though they're both only signed for a one-year deal. But I look at this division and Cleveland's the team that's lacking because I don't have any confidence in the quarterback at this point, nor should anyone. In Cleveland, they don't have confidence in Deshaun Watson right now. I think they're hopeful. They're hoping he's healthy. They're hoping that, the two good games that he played last year were a sign that he was starting to figure things out. But is his shoulder going to hold up? What's he going to look like in that regard? So, Pittsburgh, yeah, Russell Wilson and Fields might be better than Kenny Pickett, but it's a really low bar. So, but the Ravens and the Bengals, Joe Burrow's been to a Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson has led the Ravens to the number one seed twice in the last 5 years and has been MVP twice in the last 5 years. So those two teams, I mean, they're for them, it's just the much more normal. How do we break through? How do we get past Kansas City? I mean, it's that simple. How do we get past the Chiefs? It's the question everyone in football, especially in the AFC, trying to get to a Super Bowl, you have to go through them. But everything else about their teams, they generally speaking, they like, other than a couple roster questions here and there that every team has. But in the case of Pittsburgh, is Russell Wilson going to be that much better? Can Justin Fields, with a reset and a new start somewhere, finally realize that potential that is pretty good, made him a top pick? But in Cleveland, what the heck's going on with Deshaun Watson? And also, how much were you really able to improve yourself via the draft? Because you didn't have a first round pick because you traded away and you traded assets on top of the $230 million guaranteed. So, I don't think this division's changed dramatically. I mean, Joe Flacco was a great story for the Browns last year, but was anyone, that no one was buying that long term. We knew Joe wasn't going to be there long term. And, in Pittsburgh, okay, better, but does that make them a contender? Are they a contender in the AFC? And I've got a tough time believing that with Russell Wilson right now. So, I think it's kind of what it's been the last few years, which to me is Ravens, Bengals, and then there's a little bit of a drop off. I'm trying not to be too disrespectful to the Steelers because God bless them. They've gotten in as the number seven seed, but we also know no one's bought any stock in them whatsoever in terms of actually making a run when they've gotten there. So, I see this division as a two-team race, and I think the Ravens and Bengals have, had interesting. Bengals have made some interesting additions. Ravens have made some interesting additions. Both teams have lost some players. Both teams have question marks. But when you have a franchise quarterback that you believe in, a guy that's either won awards or taken you to a Super Bowl and played at that elite level, it deodorizes a lot of other things about your roster. And whereas the Browns are the exact opposite, where I think they have a pretty good roster. But I have no idea about the quarterback, and that's a really, really bad $230 million question to have, isn't it?
Well, I would say this for the drama around the league and the fact that we've talked so much baseball here and we haven't talked a whole lot of football, and I've been out at events all week long. I'm at Fadley's on Friday, giving away Pac-Man tickets. We're going to be at Sante on Wednesday for the National Kidney Foundation. So I've been out amongst people in all sorts of. I was at the Orioles game, sitting behind home plate. A lot of Yankees fans on Thursday, sweating it all out, but no one's coming up talking football with me. It's all baseball, baseball, baseball everywhere I'm going here, that it's kind of quiet here. But in a lot of other places, they have the Cowboys have real drama, and they have places where coaches are on hot seats and quarterbacks either exist or don't exist. They're not coming off MVP disappointing years where they didn't run the football enough. I mean, there's so much prosperity here on the Ravens side, and there will be in August and September when they ramp it up. And it's been so long since we've had any baseball prosperity and a sweep of the Reds and a series victory over the Yankees and all these starting pitchers and all the things we're talking about here. But the football conversation in so many other places isn't, well, I hope the second round pick can work out and start on the offensive line because that'll decide whether we're going to win 10 games or 13.
Yeah. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys are such a funny example of this. I mean, you and I sparred and debated the Derrick Henry signing and valuing a running back and all that. About the Cowboys, who Tony Pollard walks out the door and they bring Zeke Elliott back. I mean, who wants Zeke Elliott at this point? I mean, did they not see him last year? Did they not see him there his last couple years in Dallas and you bring him back? I mean, so yeah, I mean, and some of this is, I know the NFL hates to hear this, but It's okay for the NFL not to be front and center.
Yeah.
I'm okay with
Well, we
things
got
in
hockey
season. I
playoff
don't.
games. We had a horse
Yeah.
race. We had the greatest horse race. You don't have to like horse
It
races.
was incredible.
I
You
mean,
know me,
like.
I'm not a horse racing guy whatsoever, other than just I watched the Triple Crown races. I've been to Preakness before. I don't hate it or anything. I just don't follow it. But my goodness, when you have three horses with a photo finish the way the Derby was, I mean, that was incredible. So yeah, on a day when the Ravens were in Owings Mills with rookie camp, like no disrespect to those guys. That's important for what they're doing, but that's not going to get any oxygen right now. And that's okay because there is other stuff going on, including the best team in the American League playing right here in Baltimore. But yeah, when you have that, you have NHL and NBA playoffs. I mean, lacrosse, you know, the NCAA tournament lacrosse getting ready to start. I mean, it's you've got so much going on. It's okay for the NFL not to be front and center every single day, every single week, every single month. My goodness, they're front and center for most of the calendar year. So we'll be talking about the schedule release here. It's going to be very, very soon. You know, people might be listening and they might have announced when they're going to announce the schedule, even though we know the Ravens 17 opponents already. But we know that that has become maybe not a tentpole event, but it's become it's a TV event for them. So, you know, they're going to have some oxygen with that, but this is okay. You and I've talked about that. We talked about this after the postseason run ended for the Orioles. You know, baseball goes away for a while in the offseason. Now, I would argue baseball probably goes away too much in the offseason, in just the way that the sport, you know, free agency plays out, all of that, which are is another conversation for another day. But with the NFL, you know, we don't need to make things out to be more significant than what they are. The Ravens were out there for rookie camp. Great. God bless. Doesn't sound like anyone suffered any major injuries. A couple guys tweak things here and there. That's always going to happen, but you know, it's okay. Rookie camp doesn't need to be something we talk about breathlessly. It doesn't need to be a television event. I joked with you last week when we talked about this. I mean, you know, how the draft has become an event that, you know, a city like Baltimore will hopefully host at some point in the near future. You know, I don't think we need to have the schedule release be something that a city hosts. You know, we don't need to make everything a tentpole event, but hey, God bless the NFL. They have monetized so many things that you would have never dreamed of. You know, I mean, you
I
being
love
a
how
guy
Eric
that
DaCosta comes out and sits on a gambling set on the lounge instead of coming out to the barn and having crabs with us. But that's the way they do it now. They do it under a gambling sign. Hey
how
man, God bless you, you know?
I was talking to someone last week because obviously the draft just took place. I mean, just think about what the NFL draft used to be. I mean, this used to be something that was done over the phone on a weekday where ESPN started covering it and people thought it was nuts. Like, why the heck does this cable network want to cover teams picking players? You know, I mean, like 45 years ago, that sounded insane. You sounded like a crazy person wanting to make that a big TV event. And
By
we
the
see
way,
what
I
that's
knew it was
become.
a big deal when my dad and I coached a little league team at Eastwood Little League. We went over with Chad the Crab Man, and we picked players. You know, the night where the managers get together and pick the players, it's a big deal. I mean, it was
Yeah.
in a clubhouse, and like my dad and I managed a team, and like that was the most fun ever. And I'm thinking, picking players. I mean, everybody, when you pick your rotisserie teams and your fantasy
Oh,
teams, it's fun. But like I knew it was fun 40 years ago. By the way, so did Howard Balzer. He'll tell you that
yeah.
anytime he comes on how much fun it was for him 40 years
Well,
ago to be a part of it.
and I don't know if you saw it. I guess it was day three, you know, ESPN's coverage. They gave Mel Kiper some flowers where they basically, you know, they were kind of calling and saying Mel Kiper should be in the Hall of Fame. And I think it's tough to argue against that when you consider what kind of event the NFL draft has become. You know, when you talk about a city like Detroit hosting it, where they have six figures in attendance, well into six figures of attendance, you know, what, close to 1 million people or whatever it was over the 3 days. I mean, that's crazy. And when you think about where it was 45 years ago, 50 years ago, and what it's become today, I mean, Mel Kiper, he was ahead of that. You know, he was 5, 6
Well,
years
think
ahead of
about
that.
Mel hosting it in his hometown. Oh, that's here.
Yeah.
So
Absolutely.
whenever it happens here,
It'll be
it'll
cool.
be a Melathon. It really will be. It will be. It'll
I
be a
mean,
lot about Mel because of Baltimore. And I hope Ernie Accorsi's still alive to be a part of that,
if you're talking about this through that lens, if you're the NFL and obviously the Pro Football Hall of Fame playing a part in that as well, which, it's not the NFL Hall of Fame, but we know, they work very closely. If there is traction for Mel Kiper to be inducted in Canton, boy, that would be the perfect year would be draft in Baltimore. He's sitting on the set and they announce it. They actually, the Hall of Fame comes right to the set and tells them if we just booked this for them. This is like pro wrestling right here. You book that moment right there. That's something that makes perfect sense. But no, I mean, it's funny because we were kind of making fun of the NFL with their different events, but I mean, the draft, I mean, I can remember being a kid in college, rolling out of bed at 11 o'clock because I was out late the night before. It was a Saturday. Go get brunch. I'd have my three draft magazines that I had bought,
dude,
and
I
I'd sit
watched the
there for the
draft. I
next
was
8 hours.
watching when the Oilers drafted Mike Munchak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I love the draft. The draft
Yeah.
was, I was a guy sitting around watching those drafts in the 82, 83, 84.
Yeah.
We didn't have a team here after 84. And to me, being an Oilers fan during that Warren Moon period, it was a big deal for me when they drafted Bruce Matthews. I remember that. And
Yeah.
that's being an Oilers fan because we didn't have Ravens. That's how far back I go with paying attention to it. And clearly, from the minute I had a radio station and a radio show 32 years ago, I did draft work around here in 92, 93, 94, 95. I promise you, I know where I was when the Oilers drafted Steve McNair. Trust me.
Yeah,
Alcorn State. Yeah.
and as much as some of the pre-draft coverage, I think it's jump the shark a little bit in terms of being too much. The event itself, I mean, it speaks for itself. Look at the ratings that does compared to even the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, any baseball games that weekend. I mean, it's king. That's why I've joked with you, and I say this as someone who is fine with the NFL going away, relatively speaking, for certain parts of the calendar, but it's the NFL is king, and the NFL offseason is number two, in terms of the draft or its biggest tentpole events. So, it's we're in that's in the rearview mirror now, and the Ravens, draft class is set, rookie free agent set, rookie camp in the books. They'll have a couple more weeks of football school. OTAs will get started. I'll be out there, kind of surveying and seeing what it looks like, making observations that don't really matter, but everyone wants to hear it at that point in time. So, we'll see what this looks like. But, bringing it back to the beginning of our conversation, I mean, it's a Ravens team that, yeah, has some questions. There's no doubt about that, but they're in a good spot. And even with those questions, I still expect this to be a team that is in the playoffs and contending for a Super Bowl. And we'll see if that offensive line is up to the challenge. And we'll see if they can stay healthy, the requisite amount of health that you need in a given year. So, it's not this overwhelming monologue to spell out where the Ravens are right now, but they're in a really good spot, even with, yes, some fair, very legitimate questions about their offensive line going into 2024.
All right, Luke, we covered football and baseball and baseball and football. Oh, my. The Orioles will be home this weekend. Arizona Diamondbacks in. We're going to be down at Fadley's with the scratch-offs from the Maryland Lottery, our Pac-Man scratch-offs. That'll be on Friday from 2 until 5. I am putting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour together into the summer. 25th anniversary video is now out. It was like making a baby. Greg Landry came on, and we did a making of the 25th anniversary documentary. Were you a Brady Bunch fan at any point, Luke, during your life, or you're too young for that?
I mean, I saw reruns, but it was before my time. I mean, I didn't dislike it, but I'd never really watched it beyond, I've probably seen 30 episodes of the Brady Bunch in my life, but
Yeah,
it didn't really make an impact.
there was an early episode in the one of the first 2 years seasons where this sexy woman who wasn't really sexy at all came into Mike Brady's life, and she was the Powder Puff Queen. She was a perfume magnate from Europe, and she wanted her building built like a Powder Puff. And Mike obviously couldn't do this in 1972, but was trying to humor her, and she became the nightmare client for him. Her name was Bibi Gallini. She was fabulous. And so I really went through this with Greg, saying that I was the nightmare client for him at Towson Transfers. I mean, he's such a nice guy, and I've known him forever. And I'm not putting him through hell for a couple of weeks, but I did take him to the ball game and got him some booze, and I tried to buy him a drink the other night at the Black Crows. But Greg came on. He is Blue Rock Productions. He is Towson Transfers. He takes things like, let's say your mom and dad, I don't know, maybe when they got married, they had a videotape of it. And I know you've lost your dad and your mom, and I, but in maybe there's old media. Maybe there's old, you know what my wife found? I got to tell Greg this. My wife was with her sister last week. They have film like Bell and Howe that was shot in the 70s on a film thing that they've never seen, and it's in a box, and they don't have a projector to watch it, let alone digitize it, but it has their grandparents on it. My wife's telling me about this over there. I'm like, you need to get that stuff to Greg. That's what he does. So that's what Towson Transfers does. Now, he's made movies forever. He's made commercials forever. He did a video for me and my wife when we got married 21 years. I mean, I've known Greg forever. But this whole making a movie, he went through it. It has 2,202 images in 36 minutes. He's like, he's never had any project that had this level of meticulousness. And I apologize to him publicly. But we talked about the project. So Greg Landry at Towson Transfer has been my dude. He could take your old footage and make it new. And he can even take the worst client in the world, me, and make a documentary that's great, it, and you can go watch it. So that is my plug for Greg and Towson Transfers. You can find him at towsontransfers.com. You can find Luke and I giving away Maryland Lottery scratch-offs on Friday at Fadley's. You can find Luke on the internet, and we're going to be monitoring all things Nationals and Orioles. And next week, there's a little race coming to town, the Kentucky Derby. Kentucky Derby winner, Mystic Dan. I can't believe my wife didn't bet her father's name's Dan. Especially, you're gonna pay $39. I'm all about it. But all of the people I saw on the broadcast, and I did watch Kentucky Derby broadcast on Saturday. We'll be having lots of those folks here next week because I like horse racing. I follow horse racing and have followed horse racing from the beginning and sort of dig it. And I think it's important to the state. And I'm gonna be the one talking about it next week. Preakness here in Baltimore next week. We're keeping the race. It's going to be in Laurel for a couple of years. It's coming back. We have a new track. It's all being paid for. It's like real horse racing news that we've never had here in 32 years of doing this. So a big, big spring. Orioles in first place. Ravens nice and quiet. Preakness coming to town next week. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.